excited about that. But man, again, I've just been praying about this particular weekend, and so I want you just to, if you would, follow along with me as I kind of share what God has, not kind of, completely share what God has put on my heart for everyone in this room here this morning. And I want to recap a couple points off of our last live talk, not the video message that we put out, that online service experience that we put out last weekend, but the last live talk that we all got to have here 2 weekends ago, wherein we said, because we were talking about the dream, and we've been talking about the dreams that God has put in everybody's life, the needs that God has, that are and exist in everyone's life that we're dreaming for God to meet. And we talked about the key. The key to my dream is Christ in me. How many would agree that that is truth? Can we say that together? In fact, the key to my dream is Christ in me. Because how many know dreams that we have in our life are so big, as they should be? If you've got a God-sized dream, it should scare you, friends. And if you can't pull your dream off with your own two hands, you have the right dream. Because God wants to make the biggest dream that you could possibly ever dream happen in your life. You were not created by accident. You were created with a purpose, and the key to that is the one who made you, and he wants to unlock those things in your life. And so with that understanding and that truth, my prayer was that everyone in this room walked out of this room that day with a determination in their heart to be a follower of Christ. As a matter of fact, that's how we close the service, to say, I am determined to be a follower of Christ. Meaning, following the commands of Christ for my life. It doesn't mean to literally follow him around. We don't know where he's going. We're talking about following his example, doing what he said for us to do. And we kind of broke into that Chris Tomlin song, and I've been hearing it like 4 times a day since we preached that message called, you know, Where You Go, I'll Go. I don't know if we got those, where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Who you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. Can we highlight that? How you serve, I'll serve. Darren, thank you. How you serve, I'll serve. I will follow you. I want to talk about the power of serving this morning, because I want to do diligence here in allowing us to be obedient to Christ and to follow his commands for our lives. And in our passion to be obedient to the commands of Christ, I want to say that we see serving as a regular command of Christ for our lives in Scripture. I mean, a regular command. We see it rolling over into chapter after chapter after chapter of Scripture, in Jesus' words, in his followers' words, in God's words in the Old Testament, for you and I to be people that serve other people. John chapter 13, verses 12 through 14, it says that Jesus, you know, he's getting ready to wash the feet of his disciples, and he's getting ready to make a very powerful point in that moment. It says that when he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments, he resumed his place, and he said to them, this is right after he's getting ready to do this, he says, do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, he says, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Just talking about the importance of one person serving the other. Matthew 20, verses 28, Jesus said, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Mark 9:35, and he sat down and he called the 12. He called his crew, his disciples together, and he said to them, if anyone would be first, if you want that success, you want to arrive at a place of prominence and greatness, he says, he must be last of all and servant of all. Matthew 23, verse 11, he says, the greatest among you shall be your servant How many would say he is reversing mindsets with this statement that he's making? And you know, he's just talking about the importance of giving, not just to give, but God wants to bless you as a result of what you give. In Luke chapter 6, verse 38, he says, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use it, it will be measured back to you." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. And I know we were able just to drop down on just a couple scriptures here this morning that deal with this subject, God, that we see repeated in Scripture. Lord, I pray that your word and what you have to say to us this morning would come to life in our lives as we strive to live it out in the lives you've given us, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to talk this morning, as I said, about the power of serving. And I want you to know what I say when I talk about serving is that we need to give our time to bless other people. And I just want to go ahead and skip over about 20 minutes of teaching here, because I believe I have the trust of most everybody in this room when it comes to making points and connecting them to Scripture. So I just want to go ahead and skip over teaching and make the statement right now. I want to go ahead and make the connection here. Serving is a wide open doorway to your dream. Serving is a wide open doorway to your dream. And I want us to view serving through the correct lens this morning, because I don't think that many of us see that connection in America. I don't think that many of us see that connection in the church. I don't think we see that serving lines up as something that would catapult us to our dream. But like Jesus so often did, he put things in proper view for us to see them, not as we would normally see them, but as we should see them. What do I mean when I say that? Everybody in this room has a dominant eye and a weak eye, right? Matter of fact, why don't you do this right now? Everybody in this room, just make a triangle with your hand. And if you would, just put me in that triangle. Just put me right in the center of that triangle, both eyes open, right? And put me in the center of that triangle. Now, what right now, as I have lined up in the very center of your triangle right there, the reason I'm lined up is because of your dominant eye. In other words, if you were to close your left eye right now, most of you, I'm still in your triangle. But if you were to close your right eye and open your left eye, I probably disappeared. Right? Now, whichever eye that made me move was your weak eye, right? And that's an eye that we don't necessarily use a lot to view things as a dominant. If you're ever target shooting, I mean, you better be targeting with your dominant eye, because if you target with your weak eye, you're going to miss every time. What I'm trying to say is this. I think a lot of us are used to viewing things through our dominant eye, you know, the eye of our flesh, what we're normally used to doing. But we're not used to viewing things through our spiritual eyes. And that's what Jesus tried to come to get us to do. I want you to view this not as you would normally see it. I want you to see something. And I want you to see that following my commands, although it may not make much sense, you may not be able to see it as something that lines up with catapulting to your dream. But follow me and follow my commands, and serving is one of those regular things that he tells us to do. Serving is powerful, friend. And I want us to view serving this morning through our quote-unquote weak eye, you know, that spiritual eye that we normally don't see things as. It's like giving. I mean, we don't view giving as something as incredible. But Jesus says in Acts, well, you know, Scripture says in Acts 20:35 that it is better to give than to receive. I think we can amen that in church, but when we're looking at our checkbook, I don't know if that's a big amen. Right? Because we're viewing it through that eye that we normally view it. But Jesus says that it is better to give than to receive. I sat down when I was working in Ohio with a former Sudanese slave that was miraculously set free and was able to make his way to America and tell his story of how God rescued him and his family. And he sat across from my desk, and I was just overwhelmed at the honor that I had to hear this man talk. And he was telling me about how when they were at their worst, he said, "Pastor, we were at a place where we had not had the opportunity to eat for weeks." And he says, it was crazy that after you haven't eaten for weeks, the starvation that sets into you. And he says, and it's not so much, he goes, where I was struggling with myself, although he says I was struggling. But he said, to watch my wife and to watch my kids struggle, he says, was just so tough. And he said, anytime we got a little bit of food, he says, I'm talking just within my two hands, you could fit the food that we got. After we hadn't eaten for weeks, he said, I tell you, he said, it wasn't even a struggle for me not to have that. He said, I wanted my kids and my wife to have it all. And he said, "I," it's crazy. He goes, when you're starving, he goes, my body needs what is in my hand, but I don't want to eat what is in my hand because I want to give it to my wife and to my kids. He goes, I didn't even want to take a pinch and steal it. He said, I wanted them to have it. And I was like, man, this is, I go, that's wild. He goes, what is wild, he says, is at the very core of our being, God has created us to obey his word. And he says, and it is better to give than to receive because I know what my giving goes to give life to more than just my own. And that made sense to view giving as it should be viewed. I don't think we often put the commands of Christ in our proper view. We don't view it with our spiritual eye like giving or serving or deciding patience in tribulation or choosing joy in the middle of a storm. Right? James chapter 1 verse 2 says, count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds. See, it feels weird when you're going through a storm to shift and look at joy as something to do when we're in a storm. But how many know God's word, when obeyed, always brings us through and to whatever it is that he has for your life. And serving, friends, is just as powerful. You see, we don't see these things as connection points to blessing, but without fail, they are. The commands of Christ, if followed, are connection points to blessing. They are connection points to your dreams. Serving, like I said, a regular command of Jesus. You see him talking about serving nearly more than anything else that he told us that we need to do with our lives. Serving is powerful. Volunteering is powerful and produces powerful results in the life of the one who serves. I could, and you could, give example after example after example of people who decided to use their gifts and their talents to serve other people and to volunteer to help other people and begin to find their life so much more blessed than it was than before they did so. I mean, the world outside these walls agrees with this, even in a psychological context. Psychology will tell you, according to helpguide.org, will tell you some of the introductory benefits, just the introductory benefits, of serving and volunteering, wherever, however. They said some of these are some of the benefits. It helps you make new friends and contacts. It increases your social and relationship skills. It says it increases your self-confidence. Serving, volunteering combats depression. Serving helps you stay physically healthy. They says volunteering kindles happiness. It provides career experience, teaches you valuable job skills, and brings fulfillment to your life. Those are just some of the introductory benefits that come to the life of the one that serves. I can tell you from experience here at this church that people have often found and discovered their dreams from serving. They didn't know what they wanted to do. If I were to put a dream form in front of them, at one point they couldn't have put anything on there. I don't know what I was meant to do. But they decided to obey the commands of Christ and do what Jesus told us to do, and they started to serve and volunteer. And through that, they started to discover their passions. I can't tell you how many people have come to me and saying, the dream center that we are going to be starting through Journey Church has become one of my dreams in life. Thank you for pulling the blanket off and exposing a purpose to which I was created. I believe I was meant to be a part of that. I want to ask you a question. Does the culture of your life include serving? Because I know it's a busy culture in your life. We live in a world where there isn't much time for free time. There's only time for overtime. And you got to get from point A to point C, and you ain't got much time to stop at point B. It is just constant. I know it's a crazy, chaotic culture, but let me ask you this. Does the culture of your life include serving? And if it doesn't, friends, I want to give you an encouragement. Make the culture of your life include serving. Some people say, I can't afford the time. I could tell you this, friends, you can't afford not to. Let's go back to the foot washing scripture, if we would, Darren, that we found in John chapter 13. I just want to highlight a couple facts that kind of stood out to me from just that scene. I don't know if you knew this or not. I knew it, but then I forgot that this foot washing scene actually took place during the Last Supper. This happened during the Last Supper. This is Jesus at the end of his time. And for those of you that know, we were talking a couple weeks ago just about the flesh part of Jesus, right? I mean, he's God, but he's also man in this scenario. And he's got struggles. He had fears in his life that he fought to even go to the cross, right? The Garden of Gethsemane, we see just a picture of the struggle of Jesus where he said, if at all possible, let me not do this, right? He had that struggle. And Jesus did what it took to push through so that he could see his dream, which was forgiveness poured out on all humanity, happen. He's inside of the greatest storm ever in this moment. And it was serving that we see that kept and strengthened his focus in the direction of his dream happening. He served. Everywhere that he went, he served to the end. Even when he's in the storm of life, he served. He served those who were with him. And what's crazy is in this scenario, he served the one who was against him. He washed the foot of Judas as well. He served those who were with him. He served those who were against him. He just wanted to serve, friends. You know that foot washing, I did kind of a background study on foot washing, and it was so lowly of a role that it wasn't even required of Hebrew slaves. I mean, we're talking lowly role here. But Jesus decides that he needs to take regular steps to remind himself of why he is here. Why he is here. I'm here to serve humanity. He created us, friends. We should be serving him. We have a king that steps off his throne and serves humanity that walks away from him, friends. We have no excuse, friends, anymore if we're to be followers of Christ. Look at what he did. Look at the example that he laid out to keep his mind glued to the dream that God put on him, that he had in his own heart. And he closes this whole situation down. In verse 17, he says, if you know these things, because, you know, after he said all that, he said right there in that scripture, you ought to wash one another's feet. He says in the next verse, I don't have it for you on the screen, but he says, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Blessed are you if you do them. Christ knows what serving does. Journey Church, I want to say to you this morning, step out and serve regularly. Every day that we have been given to live, find in it opportunities to serve other people, to freely offer your gifts and talents that would bless the person that you are there to serve. Serve. Step out and serve. It may feel weird and it may be hard in your mind to do, especially if your life's culture does not include serving. But friends, I'm here to tell you, you can't afford not to. Do it, friends. Why? Because you have a dream to get to. And I think it's about time that we let courage start doing the driving in our lives, because I've heard people say so often, I'm scared to serve somebody else. It's weird. It's not really a part of the culture of my life, because we're raised in a nation that everything is done for you. So for us to do something for another person, especially ones we don't know, is weird and awkward. What are they going to do? How are they going to respond? What? I don't know. I'm not sure what to do with my hands right now. You know, it's just like we don't know what to do. Serve, friends. Step out and serve other people. If it's somebody at work, serve them by getting a cup of coffee for them in the break room. Be the person that just is known as serving people in work. Serve people with a smile. Serve people with compliments. I mean, open the door for other people. Find ways to bless people wherever you are. I met somebody in Ohio. We had kind of talked about the importance of serving, and I saw him at the grocery store because I'd recognized the person. And they were running around the market parking lot taking carts from people. Didn't even work there. And just putting them back into the bins, just finding ways to serve people. And I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I just want to serve." I mean, can you imagine just going up to to somebody's car after they get done loading it into their trunk or into the back seat, and somebody just walks up here, "Can I take your cart for you?" They don't work there. They just want to serve people. So they didn't have to make the walk. Because how many know, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but every time, every parking spot I pick, it's like I look where the cart place is, and it's like 30 miles down the road, right? It's just one of those things, just to find small ways to be a blessing to other people. Step out and serve, friends. You have a dream to get to. Let courage start leading your life instead of fear. Let courage start leading our lives instead of fear, complacency, and convenience. Because how many know, to get something you've never had, you got to be willing to do something you've never done. And that's what Jesus is trying to see here. Obey my commands for your life and watch the dream unfold. God will honor your step of courage and obedience every single time. God will honor your step of courage and obedience every single time. I had a talk with our staff this past Monday in our staff meeting, and it was my turn to do the devotional. We rotate on our staff team, and every Monday a different person does the devotional before we begin work, and it was my turn to do it, and I just asked the staff a question. I said, "What is the most courageous thing you've ever done?" I know it may be hard to try and make a first, second, and third place on that, but just what's one of the most courageous things you've ever done? And they started sharing, and it was a real powerful time to just see the power of courage. And when it got to me, I told them one of the most courageous things I've ever done was ask Missy to be my girlfriend. It's probably the most courageous thing I've ever done, because I remember the fear leading up to that moment. Because look at her and look at me. Right? How many would say, I've had people look at her and look at me and just go, "God is good, brother." And I said, I know he is. Right? And I see that, friends. And I just remember just seeing her. It's like, shing, just blinding light. I'm a teenager in this moment, right? So when was this? It was 1994, so that was 21 years ago. And I remember looking at her, and I was like, "Oh my Lord, her legs are amazing." I'm sorry, I meant to say her spirit is so awesome, and the joy in her heart. But I just remember looking at her just going, "Wow, this is the picture of beauty." And I really felt in my heart that God wanted me to ask her out. Like, God wanted me to ask her to be my girlfriend. I mean, it was just like everything within me. Like, if those of you guys, you remember, you're married, you just, that moment, you're just like, this is supposed to be the rest of my life. Like, you. And I didn't want to come up there and say that to her, like, "You are supposed to be the rest of my life. Come, let us go into our destiny." Like, that would not have worked. And so I remember that night when we were with all of our friends, and we were playing hide and seek in the neighborhood. You remember that? Isn't this awesome? And we're just playing hide and seek, and wherever she hid, I hid. I just went right over to her. I didn't know if you thought I was a stalker or anything, but she was going to hide behind cars. And I'm like, I'm just going to find her, you know. I'm hiding with her. And I remember my friends with me, they're like, hey, you know, you ought to ask her out. And I'm like, all right, I think I'll do it. I don't know, though, man. He's like, come on, do it. And so, and her girlfriends that were with her, that they knew that I wanted to ask her out. They could see it. And so it was time for us to leave. And so therein, they lock her out, and she's on the front porch, and my friends took off in the car, so I'm standing there in the yard. And I see her. She's standing on the porch, just, right? And I just make the death walk. I'm just like, unbelievable. I can't, like, in every step of the way, friends, I am just like, this is not going to work. She is going to reject me. Like, I don't, like, I feel like just putting it all out there, just asking the question is going to be, like, I'm going to be embarrassed if I do, right? But I was also in a situation where if I just turned around and walked away, I'm going to be embarrassed if I don't. So I'm stuck. You ever seen that movie, We Bought a Zoo, with Matt Damon? And there's a scene in the movie where he's talking with his with one of the kids. I should show that clip. It's like a 20-second clip.
What happened with you and Lily?
I don't know. I guess I didn't listen to something she told me or something. I mean, I liked her. It's like you embarrass yourself if you say something, and you embarrass yourself if you don't.
You know, sometimes all you need is 20 seconds of insane courage. Just literally 20 seconds of just embarrassing bravery. And I promise you, something great will come of it.
Prophet Matt Damon, man, isn't that good right there? Like, that's what I felt like. It was like, wow, 20 seconds of amazing courage. And that's so true. And I just remember being there in that moment. And it was like, and I did it. I climbed the steps, and I look at her. I feel this person is supposed to be the rest of my life. I have no clue what she's feeling. But I have to imagine that God honors a step of obedience and courage every single time. And so I let it out there. I said, would you be my girlfriend? I feel like I needed to ask you that. And I don't feel like I'm supposed to be alone in that. I feel like God wanted me to ask you. I feel like God can create something here. And she looks back at me, just waiting for God's honor and God's obedience, my obedience to God to be honored. She says these words. She says, I'll pray about it. And knocks on the door and leaves right after that. Now, I don't know about you, but the words I pray about it to me are Christian slang for get the heck out of my face. I don't want to turn you down right now to your face. So I'm going to do it in a letter or through a friend. You know what I'm saying? Anybody get that? Some of you tell that to us when we ask you to serve in an area. Hey, I'll pray about it. Yeah, okay, I'm sure you will. Right? You get it now, don't you? So, Missy drops and I'll pray about it, right? So I'm like, ugh. I felt like such an idiot, man, when I'm walking down the steps. And my friends, my boys, they're all excited. You know, they're like, what did she say? And I'm like, she said she'll pray about it. And they're like, oh, you know, it's not good. It's not good when they say they'll pray about it, you know. And I'm like, I know, man, I know. I put it out there. Now I can't ever hang out with her anymore. It's just going to be weird. And so I'm just distraught. But come to find out, the other side of the door, she actually went and prayed about it. And she really didn't have this big desire to want to be with me, she said. It was not like this. And I don't understand that, really, because it's kind of confusing on that role. However, she said she did. And she said that she laid down on her face and prayed. And she said, God, what should I do? And I kid you not, she's in this room. I know I'm a preacher. I can be known to kind of exaggerate a story. I'm not exaggerating when I say this, all right? You've got her right here. Now, she said, the moment she started to pray, she said for one of the first times in her life, she felt this insane presence of God come into the room. She drops a, I'll pray about it, right? But she does. And she says the presence of God comes into the room, and she said she started to shake and tremble. Like God's presence came in and shook her, and God spoke to her and said, yes, you are supposed to do this. And he started to give her a song. What was the song? 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus and just to trust him at his word. And she started to pray and sing, and God, did you hear what I just said? God shook her to be with me. God came in and she started, right? Yeah, God. You know what I'm saying? Worship right now in the presence of the Lord. What am I trying to say right now? If you take the step of obedience, you take the step of what God will tell you to do. It may be 1,000 pounds and 1,000 feet thick wall of fear waiting in front of you, but God, all he's asking you is to take the step of obedience that requires your courage, and God will shake your future. God will shake whatever is in your future. He will shake the finances. He will shake the company. He will shake any amount of resources to accommodate you and the dream he has for your life. How many are thankful for what God will do through the step we take? He just needs our courage, friends. He needs our obedience. Serve the people around you and watch how it mysteriously connects. I want to ask the worship team to come. I love that lip gloss. Amen. I'm sorry you got a pastor that does this type of stuff. I know some guys are just up here like, bless the Lord and all that good stuff, but I'm making out with my wife in the middle of the message. I'm sorry. I'm just excited about what God has blessed my life with. Serve the people around you. At work, at home, at the store. If you see somebody in need, find a way to bless them. Start searching for the shopping carts at the grocery store. Serve, friends. Everywhere you go, serve. Because Jesus often puts this emphasis on serving. And I think this is one of the points. I would never assume that I know this is exactly why he does all these points. But I would think that one of the points of serving is, takes your eyes off of yourself. Because I'm limited, friends. I am a limited person. And so often when I look at the big dream that I have, I look at my abilities. God is trying to get our eyes off of our limited abilities and start serving other people. And that's one of the greatest avenues of selflessness that exists on our planet. It's serving. Somebody serves somebody. And you get your eyes off of you. Serve everywhere you go. Kids, serve at home. Don't let your parents have to tell you what to do. Choose when you get home to do those dishes. Choose when you get home to start vacuuming. Choose when you get home to clean your room. Can I get an amen from the kids? I didn't think so. All right. It's important that we serve because God has a bright, bright future for all of us. And serving is so often the doorway that connects us to there. And we want to help accommodate that culture in your life because this church is an opportunity for you to serve at. And I want to ask you, if you would, to do this. In the seat back in front of you, there's a half sheet of paper. If somebody could get me one of them. Right here, connect card. I would, if everybody in this room would get one and put it in their hand. Just to help accommodate that culture in your life here at Journey Church, I want to encourage you this morning to fill this out. And if we could, Jim, can we have a couple ushers at the door just to take them? And you could, can we get the baskets back out? Maybe you can just, if you would, just set it in the basket on the way out the door. But we're just asking for these pieces of information, just a name, a phone number, if we can text you or not, and an email address. And just ask you, if you would, to look at these areas here that we would love to accommodate you inside of. And if you would, just circle one or two of those areas And we would love to have you serve just in this context. Maybe you could give once a month, you know, at the minimum, just give once a month to say, you know what, I want, when I come to church, I want to start serving. And like I said, if this is not a part of the culture of your life, it's weird. It's weird, I know. For those of you, maybe you've been coming here just a couple months, and it's like, I don't see myself standing out at a door greeting people, but I'm here to tell you, friends, take that courage, take that step of obedience, start to serve, and watch the blessings start to unfold into your life without your knowledge of even how it starts to happen. God connects you in so many different ways. I have talked to person after person after person here at Journey Church about the benefits that have come to their life just from serving at this church. You have told me it makes church truly feel like home. It allows you to get to know other people. It allows you to get your eyes off of yourself and realize that we're here to bless people that make their way on this campus. Because maybe some of you came in this morning right off of a week from hell. And the first thing you saw was a smile on somebody's face that opened the door for you. They came to serve, to let you know that God has good news. It is so important. And they came and they stand in those spots so they can serve. And I pray for their dreams regularly, friends. And I pray for yours. I want to address this as we close here this morning. So I want to ask our communion teams if they would to come. So many times in this type of topic, people think, oh, here's the pastor just trying to get more people to work for him. Right? It's just, that's not what we're here to do. God will fill the spots that we have in this church. He will fill the spots. He is faithful. But there are spots that are in this church that are open right now, and they're open for you to come in and do it. This is really for your good, friends. God will fill the spot with somebody. He always will. But friends, what if this is your opportunity to take it and watch the good that comes from your life as a result of it? So I want you, if you would, just to look at those areas at the info center, the one on the very right here, just to come and serve alongside Jen Williamson and her team. Stand up, Jen. She's such an amazing person and leader in this church. She's one of the most joyful people you'll ever meet. Very illustrative. Just awesome. But I'm telling you, I could be going through a tough day and just seeing what she can bring to your life, just in the context of joy, is such a blessing. Just existing to give information out, to allow people to come in and sign up to be a part of the church, or even if it's just giving out a piece of information just on what our church offers, all that stuff that we find at the info center, just to serve alongside that, being a conduit of information and connection to our church. Our cleaning teams, Miss Connie, stand up, Miss Connie. She's such a blessing here in this church. I've seen her with tears in her eyes talk about the blessing of cleaning in her life, to allow this church. We don't pay a janitorial staff here. This is just something that we all serve to do gladly with our time. And so, man, we do cleaning teams, pre-services, which is on Thursday or Friday of every week. We come in and prepare the auditorium, prepare the campus, and then after this service, after the next service, we have kind of a post-serving cleaning team. Love to have you a part of that. If you want more information on these, just circle them, and these leaders will be in touch with you. Our usher ministry, Jim Lovelace, standing right there in the back there. Wave at us, Jim, so people know who you are. If you don't know who Jim is, you haven't been here that long. And if you do know him, we're so sorry. Amen. He is a blessing, friends. Ushers, our team here that just really allows the service to be pastored and secured, and they serve and not just passing an offering basket, but helping people find a seat, especially when there's been first service and traditionally second service experience where the room gets really full and stuff to find a seat. We'd love to have you serve alongside that area, or a parking posse, our parking lot crew. Stand up, Dale. Such a blessing there. And nobody is more excited in the warm weather than our parking lot crew. Amen. They exist just to be a joyful face for everybody and help park cars. And then we got our greeters. Stand up, Miss Becky. Becky Florian's over our greeter ministry. And just to be those smiling faces and handing a bulletin out of the door, just being a conduit of joy. And then last, but certainly not least, our Journey Kids Ministry, which all of our leaders are out there right now ministering to our kids. It's more than a daycare. It's a ministry to our kids. Right now, we got nursery workers that are praying over babies and toddlers. They're not just there to change diapers or to, you know, hand out a small snack. It is a prayer atmosphere. And our pre-K ministry, just teaching those God-centered basics to our kids and getting them to enjoy it. And our elementary programs, wherein it's a little more lively inside of there, but allowing our kids to serve God and together and worship God together. It's an amazing experience, friends. We'd love to have you join those teams. And so if you would, just circle one or two areas and hand these forms at the basket on the way out so we can help accommodate that culture of serving inside of your life. Amen? Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Miss, if you would, I want to ask you to come up here and pray this morning. And here in just a second, we're going to take communion. But before we do that, I just want us to remember when that amazing scenario that Jesus is inside of in John chapter 13, where he washed his disciples' feet during the Last Supper, during communion. Serving and communion just were brought together in the most amazing form and connection, friends. And so I want us, if we would, just to remember the importance of our eyes getting off of ourselves and our own fears and our own troubles and our own issues and our own challenges and just putting them on Him and His command. What a reminder communion needs to and regularly should be inside of our lives. Amen.
Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to be here, Lord, to hear your words and to obey those words. God, I pray each and every person in this room, Lord, will find a place to serve, to find a place to give back, God, all that you have given to their lives and done in their lives, Lord. And we know that there's a place and a purpose for each and every person in this room, that you want to use them in great and mighty ways, even bigger than what they can imagine, Lord. And so we pray that all of us just be willing to do whatever it is that you're asking us to do. God, what is that next step for our lives, Lord? And just show that to each and every person. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Journey Church. And I think with the room the way it is, you can just be dismissed as you would, right to the front here in communion down these two center aisles. And then you can exit out the two.